I love these guys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. I'm here with my great friend, John Drennan. I'm Bill Radford, and we're here to talk about the Lions' debacle Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's some good, a lot of bad, and something real ugly to talk about. The good, I guess I would say, is Jared Goff. He had another good game, and I've seen a lot of criticism of Goff over the last two or three weeks that I think is completely unfounded. He's a great quarterback. He's got leads the league or close to the top in almost every statistic for quarterbacks. And he's got a lot of guts, as was seen on that one touchdown that didn't count right at the end of the game. But the bad was Pittsburgh is not a good team. And the Lions should have handled them at home with very little difficulty. They didn't defend well. They didn't rush the passer well. They had a couple of sacks. And they didn't make adjustments for the second game in the row. They had a horrible third quarter. I don't remember the exact number, but it was seems like it was over 20 plays at one point for the Steelers, and the Lions only had three. I know they might have had another three and out in the third quarter, but they're not making adjustments. They're not calling the right plays. They finally started calling plays to the others. You know, the main guys are Gibbs, St. Brown, and J-Mo. But those weren't working initially. And so they finally started going to Fritzker, to Khalil Raymond, to Tesla, and they were making headway. And why they didn't do that in the third quarter, I have no idea. It just baffles me. And then the ugly at the end of the game when they couldn't get in the end zone, when they had a first and goal at about the 2 yard line, and they got called for offensive pass interference twice. The second one, I think, was legit, but the first one was just a terrible call. Should have been a touchdown. They would have scored with about 20 seconds to go. In all likelihood, they're going to win that game if they get that touchdown. And it's just a shame that a referee's blown call can determine whether a team makes the playoffs or not. And it may turn out that way. Of course, they have to win the last two games, which they would have had to do anyway. So that remains to be seen. But, John, the rest of the night, I was beside myself. It was hard to sleep.
Yeah, Bill, you had shared ahead of time here. This is maybe it's the most disappointing game in a long time for you. And my response was for me too, at least going back to 2021, if not further back. You know, it's a must-win game. It's at Ford Field. We're playing really a mediocre team that's banged up with their share of injuries. And we don't come out with the win. And we make some of their players look like they're heroes and potential Pro Bowlers, which we've done for a lot of teams. I know at one point you text me, we're going to lose this game. And typically I would have thought, oh, that's just Bill. This time I thought, he's right. But then later, some things shifted, and we both thought, we just won this game. That was what you just talked about, the touchdown that got taken away at the very end. We won the game with that. So I'm very disappointing. And, you know, I've been asking myself, and if we back up the buggy and if our listeners go back to our first few podcasts, I was so high on this roster, so high on this coaching staff, so high on coming off of last year and that this is really could be the year for the Lions. You never know, but so high on the fact that We had players coming back from injury. And then gradually this year's just kind of unraveled. I think I underestimated the loss of our two coordinators. And I think I was a little bit higher on the draft picks than what they showed. And I certainly downplayed the loss of Frank Regg now, not because I wasn't aware he was a great force, but the last couple of years, Bill, he played hurt most of the time. So I thought, if we can have somebody who's not playing hurt that can grow into that position, yeah, there will be a loss there, but it won't be huge. But I think it ended up huge. So I've been asking myself, what's gone wrong here? And I think the answers are, our coordinators were not as good. Our offensive line's been somewhere between average and, abysmal, if that's a word. We've had key injuries again. I know, Bill, every team can say that, so that's not an excuse. But when you're playing without tight ends, without your safeties, and then our defensive line has kind of disappeared. Bill, I made a comment about 5, 6 weeks ago. I was so excited we were getting back Aleem McNeil. We were getting back Marcus Davenport. We were getting back somebody else on the D line. But it doesn't matter. Tyleek Williams, we weren't getting him back, but he seemed to do okay at the beginning of the year as a rookie, but he's just kind of disappeared. But Bill, I think for me, the sourest thing when I think about it, is I think our coaching hasn't been good this year, and that's something we've just relied on. And I think there's reasons for it. So, disappointing season. The chance of being in the playoffs right now, very slim, but there is still a chance. And Bill, especially with what's going on out there, I mean, Green Bay right now apparently doesn't have a quarterback. I mean, I think this week they're playing their third string, and they're now without Micah Parsons or without Tucker Kraft. It's possible they lose their next two, but the challenge is the Lions have to win their next two, and they just don't look like a playoff team. So there's my comments. Disappointing game.
Yeah, I think that you bring up some good points. I think that the injury bug, you're right, a lot of teams have that. You look at San Francisco, all the injuries they have, and they're 11 and 4.
Right.
But it's tough to lose your entire defensive backfield, two Pro Bowl safeties, two cornerbacks, and have it not affect you. And then you something I thought of when you were talking about all the guys that came back from injury. Just because you come back from injury doesn't mean you're not hurt still.
That's right. You're not 100% for sure.
Right, you're playing hurt. So
Especially like McNeil, who was out for about a year. I mean, it just takes time.
right, and I've thought the same thing about Hutchinson. He's had a pretty good year, but not like last year. And he's coming back from a broken leg, and I'm hoping that next year he'll even be better.
And Bill, I do think part of that, I just feel like he hasn't had a lot of help. I mean, last year he had Za'Darius Smith opposite him, and Pascal and Ozaniki. I'm not saying his name right, but this year it's like if Hutch isn't doing it, who is? Muhammad was a flash early in the year. Davenport to me has not done anything. Reader, I don't think's as good as what I thought he was. Roy Lopez has stepped up a little bit, but it's like Hutch and then a bunch of other guys.
Yeah, and you might want to check that on Za'Darius Smith. I think we got him after Hutch got hurt.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Yeah, we needed to get, but we had more depth on the D line last year in general.
Well, and exactly, and what helps your D line sack the quarterback is your outstanding defensive backfield is covering everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. They go hand in hand.
Yeah, if there's nobody open, the quarterback ends up eating the ball. But this year seems like everybody's open. So I was amazed that we had a terrible third quarter again. I mean, two games in a row, we had the lead against the Rams. Well, another thing is, I'll get to the lead in just a second. But at the end of the half against the Rams, we let them go down and kick a field goal. Too easy.
Yep.
This game, we let them go down and score a touchdown. Too easy. After we had built up a lead. So instead of going into the half up 10-3, feeling good about ourselves, we give up a touchdown on the last play of the half. 45-yard touchdown. The guy's laying on the ground at about the 12-yard line, and no, nobody bothers to touch him because they thought it was incomplete. So it's two games in a row where we had leads and let them score at the end of the half, and then came out in the third quarter and did absolutely nothing for the whole quarter.
Bill, I wish
So
I could comment on that third quarter. I usually go back and rewatch the games, and I didn't do it. I rewatched the first half. I don't think I could stomach the third quarter, so I didn't rewatch it to address how is it even possible? They were a no-show in the third quarter. But you talked about allowing the score at the end of the first half. Bill, we scored to make it 10-3 on that beautiful pass and catch by Tesla. And there's less than 2 minutes to go. Get this. Pittsburgh's got third and 10 from inside their 30, and they get a first down. Then they got third and 11 inside of their 30 again, I think, because they got backed up, or inside their 40, they get a first down. Then they end up again, like third and 10, and get a first down. And they score on the pass you mentioned to Gainwell. Here's the thing, if you watch the tape of that, I know after when the play happened, I said, well, that's incomplete. But when you watch it, no, it was a catch. But what you could see is Thomas Harper, the safety, running toward the play, and he stops. He thinks it's incomplete. All he had to do, Bill, was run one more step and touch the guy, and he's down. And now it's a field goal for 3 points, not a TD and extra point for seven. And so that happens inside of 2 minutes. But again, they converted three third downs and score this impossible kind of touchdown. Just unreal. Then they get the ball to start the second half. And that third quarter, as you said, is probably the worst quarter of football in the Dan Campbell era.
yeah, it was awful. And that speaks to the coaches don't seem to be able to make adjustments. Just because you have the lead doesn't mean that you can't adjust. You 10 points and a half against Pittsburgh is not very good. I mean,
No, you probably thought 30 plus.
they've had teams run them over this year. The Lions ran them over the second time they had the ball, and so for some reason they stopped doing it. They kept running that same running play where the guard is pulling, but he doesn't get to Hightower before Hightower by him and has the running back.
Three
I mean,
times. Three.
three times. Why keep running that play? It's obviously not working.
Yeah, Bill, I'm looking at stats right now. Pittsburgh had 120 more yards total than us. We had almost 100 more in passing, but here it was. Steelers, 230 yards rushing. Lions, 15. With Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. That reveals two things. You and I talked about this beforehand here. Our defensive line sucked to allow 230 yards, as did our safeties. Safeties are key, so are linebackers in stopping long run plays. But our 15 yards means our offensive line sucked. Well, when your D line and your O line suck, you're going to lose to almost anybody. So, apart from that, both teams had 23 first downs, similar third down efficiency, similar fourth down efficiency, almost the exact number of plays, about the same number of sacks, same number of punts. They lost one fumble. We had no turnovers. They had more penalty yards than we did. But that rushing difference absolutely destroyed the Lions in this game.
Yeah, and the turnover we got, they were ready to score again. We turned it over inside their our 5 yard line.
I'm not even remembering what the turnover was.
The tight end, that big tight end, 81, I think, had the ball. He was trying to get more yards,
Oh yeah, I
and
got
as he was
punched.
going down, I forget who was able to pull it out,
Yeah,
and
I
we
remember. I
recovered
think
it.
it he got I think the ball got hit as the guy was tackling him, either with the helmet or the fist, but yeah, I remember it now.
Then the ball comes out, we recover it on the 2 yard line, and then Goff gets sacked for a safety. So, it was ugly. But still, Pittsburgh is so bad that they try to give it away at the end.
They did. You said they're self-destructing. You and I were texting each other, penalty, blown play. Yeah, they were. And I mean, we did come back.
Yeah. Well, they blew a chip shot field goal, the guy that never misses. And there's 2 minutes to go, and we go roaring down the field, and I'm thinking, we're going to win this game.
That's when we went from we're going to lose this game to we're going to win this game.
Right. And it just seemed like the Pittsburgh wanted to give it to us. And they did. They did give it to us, but the first call against Tesla, the referee took it away. And Jared Goff doesn't usually make excuses. And he told, I heard him on an interview. He said he told Tesla he shouldn't feel bad about that at all because he didn't do anything wrong.
Yep, I saw that too. And Bill, initially, I thought, no, that was a good call. Just to me, it kind of mimicked the earlier call in the game when Pittsburgh tight end picked a guy. In fact, it was against DJ Reed, who's about half the size of Williams, who picked him. But looking back later at the replay, Tesla, I agree. Bad call. Cost the Lions a game. And I don't like to say it that way. Without that call, they win, but many, many, many things cost them the game.
Right. And I know that players like to say things like, well, that one call didn't cost us the game. But darn it, yes, it did this time.
Well, did in that right there, it was in front of everyone to see. He scores there and it's over. Short
Right.
of a complete miracle on the kickoff. So,
So, Ben Johnson's doing well. Aaron Glenn, not so much. There's a lot of chatter among the Lion faithful that they need an offensive coordinator, and I agree. I know Dan Campbell wanted to take over. He didn't think things were going right, but he's not the play caller.
I
I could tell
agree.
you that.
They need a new offensive coordinator that comes in and makes it happen with these players. And Bill, let's talk about that. I know this is the most disappointed I've been all year in doing these podcasts, but in no way am I feeling like the sky is falling with the Lions. I think they're a great organization. I think they'll make adjustments with their personnel, with their coaching, et cetera, for next year. But look at this year, Bill, for a minute. The Chiefs out of the playoffs with three or four games left. The Ravens not likely to make the playoffs, although they could. The Green Bay, they good chance will make the playoffs, but they to after the second game of the year, I'm saying they look like the best team in the NFL. The Bills have lost their share. But then you look at team, the Jaguars. They could be in the Super Bowl. The Colts could have been, except they lost their starting quarterback. The 49ers, 11 wins, and as you said, they've been all banged up. The Rams and Seahawks both look like potential Super Bowl champions. The Eagles don't look very good. It's just so topsy-turvy this year.
What I'm hoping, John, is that if you remember the Eagles, well, they won it last year, and 2 years before that, they lost in the Super Bowl to the Chiefs.
Yep.
And then the year after they lost to the Chiefs, they started off well, but then they faltered, lost their first playoff game, and everybody said, what's wrong with the Eagles? But then they came back and had a great year and won the Super Bowl. And I'm hoping that's what's going to happen with the Lions. They're going to have a down year this year because, like the Eagles, they lost their coordinators. One thing about the injuries, though, I know the Lions from the beginning of the training camp, they go full pads and hit hard. And that's just been Dan Campbell's sort of philosophy, but it might be time to change it because the human body can only take so much of that. And they've gone to 17 games now, and the players are bigger and faster and stronger and hit harder. And maybe they need to take a different approach. They need to do something different to avoid all these injuries if they can.
Bill, there's so much controversy around all that. I definitely hear you. Lions this year played one extra preseason game, yet never played a starter in a preseason game where other teams do and risk injury there. I don't know. I don't feel like they lost that much in terms of injuries during preseason, but there is
It's
wear and tear.
accumulative, though.
Yeah, there's wear and tear, no doubt. And they did play that extra game, but again, their starters didn't play. And the big criticism after the Green Bay opening game was, man, you gotta play your starters a little bit because they just were awful. And they were.
Well, that and they had a couple of live scrimmages with other teams that they thought was, so they were hitting. They
Yeah,
just weren't.
right. And all the reports were they were phenomenal. Like they completely buried the Dolphins in that scrimmage and did very well against the Texans. So.
But now you look at the Texans, they've got the league's best defense, and they could go quite a ways in the playoffs.
Yeah, when you have a great defense and a decent offense, you can keep going. You get a few breaks, you can be in the big game.
Well, John, let's talk about the Vikings.
Before we do that, Bill, one more thing on this whole note. 5 years ago, our expectation was someday we'll make the playoffs. 4 years ago, they won three games, but we saw a glimpse of things to come. This year, it's like, are you kidding me? We're not in the playoffs. We could end up with a losing record. We could end up with what, 7-9 or what?
8 and 9.
Yeah, 8-9. But think where our expectations have come versus where they were. So it's just be a Lions fan, and the bad taste and disappointment is because of how good we got in the last few years. So I'm liking
That's
it.
true. That's true.
So yeah, let's
Let's talk
talk
about the
about it.
Vikings.
Okay, well, Christmas Day, both teams. Not a lot of time to recover. Vikings coming off a win, I believe. Lions not. And at the Vikings, but in a dome stadium, so that's good. A road game. And Vikings seem to be without a quarterback. JJ's hurt again. Carson Wentz is out, so I think they're going with probably Max Bosmer, who I don't hardly have ever heard of. So, what do you think?
Unless they call on Fran Tarkenton to come in and
Philip Rivers, maybe they could do a deal with the Colts again.
that's
Oh my
well,
goodness.
they have to win it, and if they win their last two, they have a sliver of a chance.
Yeah, they do, and it would be some kind of momentum, some kind of good thing, I think, for the team.
At the
Vikings
start of the
fans.
year, at the start of the year, if you told somebody that that your team would be 10-7, they would say, well, they're a playoff team.
You would.
So.
And Bill, Vikings are a good team. They have a very good defense and they have great weapons on offense. So if they've got a quarterback that can avoid turnovers, hand it off, and make some good throws, this is not an easy game. On the road on
No.
Christmas, you never know where players are at and so on. But I sure hope we get a W. I
Yeah,
can't
I
believe I'm
wish they
saying
weren't
it
playing
like
on
that.
Christmas. They looked at the NBA getting all those all that attention, and they decided, heck, we'll just play on Christmas, and the nobody will watch the NBA. But I like how the NHL does it. They play their last games for 4 days tonight. And everybody gets Christmas off.
Well, I'm not a big fan of NFL playing on Christmas. But I'm going to watch for sure. So.
Well, I'm going to watch, especially if I can, because the Lions are playing. But you got a prediction?
I do, Bill. 27-23 Lions.
I
What?
have 27. I had 27-20.
Of course. All
The
right.
people listening to this podcast probably think we're out of our mind, always picking the Lions now.
Well, no, you didn't pick them against the Ravens.
No, that's true. That's the only game of the year I didn't pick them. I didn't
So,
want to pick them against the Rams. I don't think you did either, but out of loyalty, we picked them.
well, I justified it in my head how they could go there and win. I had my doubts about the Eagles. But at this point, I was even thinking, am I going to pick them against the Vikings? And with the Vikings quarterback situation, that sealed it for me. Otherwise, I'm not sure.
Well,
They
we'll
hadn't
have a lot
lost
to talk
two in a row,
about.
Bill, for 3 years. Now they've lost two in a row.
Yeah.
That again, expectations have changed. But I've always believed this, Bill. Expectations can always lead to disappointment. So I try
Yeah.
not to have them in any
What do
area
you mean
of
you
my life.
try not to have them? You've been having nothing but expectations all year long.
Well, in every area of life, I try not to have them. With the Lions, I've definitely had
Yeah. Well,
So.
listen, John, you have a Merry Christmas.
You as well. Thank you, listeners, to listening to the Secondhand Lions podcast. We're two fans who are kind of disappointed right now. So,
Yeah. You all have a Merry Christmas.
you too. See you next time. Bye for now.
Bye.